Last day of TechEd. How is everyone this morning? Have you had a good TechEd so far? Yeah? Still lots more to see. There's still so many things that I want to go play with, which I haven't had a chance to do. Last day, after I'm finished this, I'm going to go out and play in the hands-on labs, I think. My name is Ian Lucas. I run the program management team that develops Server Manager in Windows Server 2012. What we're going to do today, I'm sure that you've already seen Server Manager and some of our manageability investments in lots of other demos. I know that Aaron Chappell and Jeffrey Snover have touched on it in some of their sessions. And you've seen sort of at a high level what Server Manager can do. What I'm going to do today is really take you into Server Manager, methodically work through what functionality is there, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you can customize that and make the best out of it in your environment. And we're going to deep dive into a couple of the underlying sort of issues and technology so you understand how it works and therefore can use it to its best advantage. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you a question. If you think across all of the Windows desktops which are out there today, consumers, information workers, IT pros, what do you think the average number of Windows that users have simultaneously open on their desktops might be? Okay, so show of hands, who thinks it's one? Probably not, right? Unless maybe you're a virtual desktop and you count, that's cheating. What about, who thinks it might be up to five? Still no one? Oh, a few people. Okay, between 5 and 10, add your hands. Yeah. Okay. More than 10, 15? Okay. We've actually got some data. And if you look at this data, this is actually showing the peak number of open windows on a desktop. So the average would be sort of left shifted a little bit. But when you look at this, you sort of see, well, on average, users have 6 to 9 desktops. And if I look at the way my wife works on her desktop at home, that sounds about right. She'll have an IE window, she'll have an email window, she'll have a couple of other bits and pieces playing around. However, I think that peak there is really sort of typical of consumers, probably information workers. However, if I go out and visit you guys in your place of work and I sit down with IT administrators who are administrating their Windows Server environments, I see something very different. What I see are lots and lots of tools. I see tools for different technologies. I see instances of those tools pointed at different servers. So I actually think that, everyone in here is probably above average, okay? And we sort of live out in this side of the curve. We're sort of this sort of 15 up to, 50 plus. That's a pretty wild desktop. And that matches what I see when I go out and talk to people. So as we go into Windows Server planning a couple of years ago, we're looking at this and we're saying, well, they're the two problems we want to really try and solve. We want to try and directionally move to a point where you have less and less windows on the IT Pro desktop so that you can manage multiple servers from a single pane of glass. So you've probably seen this slide before or some variation of it and heard people say, well, the Windows Server of today, in the past, has been a really great operating system for managing a server and those devices which are attached to it. Okay? But moving forward, we want to shift that. We want to move Windows Server so it's a great operating system to power the cloud, and we really want, from a manageability perspective, to have a great operating system that allows you to manage across many servers. And to manage not just the devices that are attached to them, but the devices that connect between them, the devices that are shared by them. And then we want to be able to do that regardless of whether those servers are physical servers, whether they're sort of virtual servers, or maybe they're up in the clouds, or a mixture of all of those. We want to be able to do that really well. So what's been our manageability tool focus? We've been investing in these remote multi-machine management tools. So that means that we want to be able to manage remotely from your IT Pro desktop, and we want to be able to manage multiple machines at the same time. And Server Manager in Server 2012 is really the first step along that journey. We also care about other things. We care a lot about providing great user experiences for the IT Pro. And what that means when you're building GUI tools is you really have to have principled UI design approaches. So when we go and design something like Server Manager, we're very particular about thinking about how do we minimize context switches? How do we make sure that you're not jumping between lots and lots of different windows all of the time? How do we make sure you don't have to go through deep navigations in the tree to be able to get to what you're really trying to do? Then we've got these three principles we've been using around making sure that when we're bringing back lots of information, that you can glance at that information and see immediately what you need to know. That information is relevant to you, And it's not noisy. It's not a whole bunch of information you don't need. And that when you see some action, or see some information that you need to take action of, that you can do that directly inside of the UI. You don't have to go navigate through a tree to find the tool which is going to allow you to do what you really want to do. So they're sort of our UI design principles, and hopefully you'll see that as we walk through Server Manager. The last thing which we're focused on is, and we've been doing this for a couple of releases now, is really trying to think about how we ramp people towards automation. It's not that we believe automation should replace UI, absolutely not, but we really believe that as you manage Windows Server through great UI tools, that automation supplements that. And the power that you can use or get to through being able to flexibly automate tasks to make them predictable and make them easier to do is something which we really want to supplement with. So there's a bunch of stuff we've been doing there. In particular, we've had this approach of layering our UI on top of PowerShell, and we've done that with Server Manager. So this is basically what we're going to go through. I'm not going to read through this because this is effectively the agenda for the demo, which is the set of demos which are going to come up. And we're going to spend a lot of time in the actual tool, playing around, having a look at how it works. So this is what's to come in this session. So let's deep dive into those capabilities. Before we do, I want to set up very quickly for you a conceptual model of what we're talking about. When I go out to IT pros and visit IT pros, first thing that you do when I come visit you is you tell me about your data center. You say, Ian, I've got these 400 servers, and half of them are Windows Server 2008, and I've got this other set of servers which are 2008 R2, and they run these sorts of things, and I've got a couple of Windows Server 2003 machines in the corner, and all of these are down in the data center, which is 5 blocks that way, which takes me 3 minutes to get to if the traffic is good. But then very quickly you go from that description of the overall data center, then you say, but Ian, these are the servers I manage. I manage these 10 over here, which are driving our fax, or I manage the AD infrastructure. It's these servers primarily, and I need to make sure these are up, otherwise it's my job. And there's very much this concept of, these are my servers. So inside of Server Manager, we have this concept of my servers. Server Manager is not intended to be I'm going to manage your entire data center tool. It's a very personalized tool for an IT pro for the tools or for the servers which they want to manage. So the first thing we're going to do in Server Manager is tell Server Manager what are the machines that I want to manage, what are my machines, and add those into the Server Manager pool. As soon as you do that, Server Manager is going to go out to those machines and it's going to do what we call get inventory. And basically all this is going out to the machines and saying, who are you? What's your operating system type? What's your architecture type? Are you in a cluster? And what roles and features do you currently have installed? We go figure out what's in that environment and automatically build a view of that for you. Mouth is dry. Once we have that information inside of Server Manager, what we then do is Server Manager is automatically going to try and create for you a view, or it's going to group those servers in ways which it feels is going to be meaningful for you. So it's going to have this concept of an all servers group, which is all the servers which you've added. But then it's going to go through and it's going to say, hey, 5 of these servers have fax role installed. So I'm going to create a group and say, and put those 5 servers in that group and say, this group is for my fax servers. Okay? Here's a group which is representing all the servers which have Active Directory on them. Here's another group which is maybe my WSUS. And it's going to create a group for each role that it discovers in your group of servers. Now, the important thing about these groups is that all of the UI inside of Server Manager sort of toggles off these groups. So if you take any one of those groups, say it's the fax role, then you're going to get two pieces of UI which Server Manager is going to create for you. First of all, it's going to create something in the Server Manager dashboard. It's going to create a thumbnail there, which is where it's going to tell you, for this group, this is the stuff which you need to pay attention to. So for the fax server group, this is the information. This is what's happening with fax server. Is it healthy? Are there events that you need to pay attention to? And then as well as the dashboard thumbnail, Server Manager is going to create a detailed view, which is where you can go and find all of the detailed information about the fax server role. Okay? And then, of course, over on the left-hand side, it's going to create the navigation. so that you can move between all of those different detailed views and get to the dashboard and so forth. So that's fundamentally the way Server Manager is set up. The last thing, of course, is once we have those views, Server Manager has to go off and get all of the data for that. We're going to talk a lot about what it's doing in terms of when it gets the data, what that looks like, how it does that, and how to think about that when you're thinking about sizing your system. Okay, so let's move on to the demo. There we go. So I'm assuming everybody's seen Server Manager already at some stage over the last 4 days. Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. So what I'm doing here is I'm running Server Manager from a Win8 client desktop. Okay, I've installed the Remote Server Administration Tools, the RSAP package, which is available for download on the Download Center. We release it at the same time as we released the Win8 preview. So it's there from day one, which is fantastic. We haven't done that before. And what you'll see is when you start Server Manager on a client machine with RSAP, the default view when you start up, it doesn't know about any servers. So the all servers group has a count of zero, and we have to go tell Server Manager, what are the servers that we want to manage? What are my servers? So we do that. We're going to go up to this Manage menu up on the top-hand corner, and this menu really has all of the inbuilt capabilities of Server Manager. So this is where we're going to add servers into Server Manager. It's where we can play with the Server Manager properties like the poll refresh time. It's also where we can get to the add roles and features wizard when we want to deploy roles and features. And there's a couple other customization things in here. So let's go to the add servers. And you'll see here that there are three different ways that you can go and find the servers that you want to add into Server Manager. The first one is AD, so let's look at that. The simplest thing I can do here is just hit the Find Now, and it'll go pull back all of the machines in my AD environment. Now, for me today, that's a pretty short list because this is a demo environment, but I know that for you, when you go back to your place of work, that's going to be a pretty long list, so you need ways to be able to filter that down. So in here, I'm just going to go in and type in a name prefix for machines and sort that down to the demo machines ready for this demo. Okay? So that's one way you can sort it down. Let's grab those six servers and add them to my selected list. But that may not always be enough. So what other ways can I find machines? So I don't remember the name of the machines, but I was doing a demo in my hometown of Brisbane, and there were some machines I was using there. Yes, there they are. It was a while ago. They were WinServer 08R2 machines. So I'm going to grab those. So what I've done there is I've navigated down through the OU structure inside of AD to find machines in a particular organizational unit. Okay, so that's sort of cool. Let's go back up to the top of the domain. The other thing which I can do is I can find servers based on their OS type. So I know that I had somewhere some WinServer 2008 servers, so let's see if I can find those. Click the Find Now. There they are. And I'm going to choose one of these to add into my list. And you can see that you can use those three mechanisms and you can use combinations of those mechanisms to find the servers that you want to add into Server Manager. The second way you can find machines is through DNS lookup. So for example here, if I wanted to look up my demo 01 machine, I can go find that, I can add that in. I've already got that, so if I click add, it's going to ignore it because it's already there. But I can also from here do it by IP address. So let's find my domain controller in this environment, which is .1 address. There it is, mspdemodc, fourthcoffee.com. I'm going to add that into my list to make things interesting. So now I've got a set of servers here which are ready to add into my console. The final way to find servers is you can actually import a list of servers from a file. I'm going to do this later on, but the file is basically a flat text file or a CSV where the machine name is the first in each row. Okay, so if you have a file like that, you can import a set of machines. You'll get them over on the left-hand side here, select the ones you want, and put them into your list. So let's add these into Server Manager. Now Server Manager knows about my servers. Okay, so it's going to go off and it's going to start querying those servers and figuring out what's installed on them and what those servers are all about. And you'll see as it does that, it's going to create these automatic groups representing the roles and start populating those on the dashboard. And you've seen that now, if I hide this welcome tile, that it's starting to find what's installed in my environment. I've got one machine, which is a DC controller. I've got a couple of DHCP machines. I've got DNS on one machine. I've got WSUS. I've got an IPAM server. Who's seen IPAM? Have you guys seen that? Yeah, it's a very, very cool technology. We've got IIS installed on some of those, and in fact, a refresh failed on at least one server. I might just quickly go and fix that because I think I know what that is. I think I failed to start my preview of what's to come. I did. I failed to start those guys. Let's fire them up. Okay. In a minute, that's going to refresh again, and we'll see that come up. Okay. So you'll see that Server Manager has automatically created those groups, and down this left-hand side has also created the entry points to those detail views. So let's now spend some time and just look through what's in each of these thumbnail tiles. And I'm going to do that looking at the AD tile. You'll see that I have one AD server. And let's go, and you'll see that the time that the data was refreshed was at just a couple of seconds ago. So let's walk through what each of these things does and what it means and what we can do with it. Because remember that what we want to do here is make sure the information on this dashboard is relevant to us. So the dashboard is all about alerting you to things that you need to pay attention to. So as we go through this, keep that in mind and figure out what are the things that you would want to be able to pay attention to. What would you want the dashboard to display for you in your environment? So the first one of these is manageability. And if we look in manageability, you can actually see that there's all sorts of states of manageability which Server Manager can report on. I'm going to drill into these in detail a bit later on in this session. For now, I want you to think about manageability as a simple ping. Okay? If it's green, if the machine's there, it's green. If the machine isn't there, then it's going to come up as red. And if the manageability line in the dashboard comes up as red, all of the other data you probably don't want to trust too much. Okay, so think about it like that. And this is really just telling you, does the dashboard make sense at the moment? Okay, the events, by default, what Server Manager is going to do is it's going to bring up to the dashboard any critical or any error events that it finds in the event log. Now, because this thumbnail tile, which I'm using, is scoped to AD, what we're going to see here are critical and error events by default, and you can change that. For the event sources, which the AD team has told me are important for the AD role. So here we've got three logs, the Windows DNS server log, the Active Directory log, and the ADWS log. Again, you can filter out some of those logs if you don't want to see those events on your dashboard. It's going to find events which is from those logs which are critical or error over the last 24 hours. And another really cool thing you can do with the events on the dashboard is this. So here what I've got is a number of events, and I'm going to say, I've looked at these events. I don't want them on my dashboard anymore. It's going to make my dashboard red. So I'm going to click hide them. And effectively, if you see over here, there is a query that says basically telling you that I've hidden everything that came in before this timestamp. Okay, so that allows you to sort of process through your events, say, yep, I'm okay with all of these. Let's just hide those and then show me anything new that comes in on the dashboard. Make sense? We're not deleting those from the event log, of course, and you can come back and show and hide those, toggle that back and forth. Okay. Services. Inside of services, services by default is going to tell you about any services which are set for automatic or automatic delayed start which aren't running. Okay? Again, you've got the flexibility to change that to make it what makes sense for you. But you'll see here that, and you can change what are the service statuses, and at the moment anything which isn't really running is going to alert on the dashboard. Again, because this is an AD one, the AD team has told me these are the services which matter for ADDS role. Okay, again, you can filter those down. If you don't want to be alerted for things for the Windows Time service, for example, you could filter that out and remove that noise from your dashboard if you thought that was noise. So there's a lot of flexibility here to be able to configure this to make sure that the information on the dashboard is relevant to you. That's the theme which we're seeing. Okay, performance. Performance is new for Server Manager. We didn't have this before. And in this release, performance is going to do two things for you. It's going to look for an alert for you on CPU spikes on a machine which go above a threshold, which is configurable by you. And it's going to tell you about instances where the free memory on the server has dropped below a certain threshold. Again, configurable by you. Okay, we're going to look at this in more detail when we get to the detailed tiles, but effectively you can go and choose whether you want to see one or both of those. Now, the one thing about performance which you need to know, particularly in the dashboard, is that the performance metrics are machine metrics. They're not scoped specifically to AD. So we're not looking at AD process time here or AD memory. We're looking at the machine, overall machine memory. So it's not scoped to the role in the same way as the other metrics. Again, you've got the ability to hide alerts here based on the timestamp and sort of hide past alerts to remove noise from your dashboard. Finally, we've got BPA results which bubble up here. So again, by default, Server Manager is going to show any error results coming back from when you run your BPA rules. Can I just ask, how many people here are running BPA rules regularly inside of their environments? A few people. Wow, I wish that was more. The BPA rules are really important. Basically, they're rules which are, as we see sort of common configuration issues coming in as service requests, we sort of identify those and we say, hey, this is common. Let's send out a best practice rule which allows you to sort of say, hey, I can go figure out whether I'm following best practices and hopefully avoid future issues. So if you're not running BPO, I really encourage you to go try that out. You'll see here that Server Manager is by default showing you errors from all of the different categories that can come back from a BPA rule. And it'll bring those alerts up into the dashboard and you can go have a look at those. So for example, I could add in here and say, I also want to see the warnings. And if I do that, you'll see that that tile is going to go red. And if I look at these warnings, they're things to do with the fact that I haven't configured AD correctly for the environment which I'm in. So there's one here which is telling me about following some best practices because I'm running in a virtual environment. I should be protecting the OUs from accidental deletion, all of those sorts of things. Okay, I'm going to turn those off. Okay, so that's the information on the dashboard. And again, the dashboard is about telling me what I need to act on now, what I need to go look at inside of my thing, and making sure that that information is relevant to you. So let's go on and have a look at the detailed views. So if you haven't seen this view before, the basic operation here is that you have a first tile, which is a set of servers. These are the servers that are in the group. And here I'm going to look at the all servers group so we can see all of the servers together. And as you select one of these servers from the list, the information in the other tiles in this view are changing based on the selection. Okay, so the events and the services and all those things we just talked about have a tile themselves here, and they'll change based on the selection at the top here. And because this is multi-machine management, if I select multiple of these, it's going to bring back aggregated information in those tiles. So that's one of the big roles of this server view at the top, this server tile at the top of the view. However, there's a lot more that you can do here. If I right-click on the column header here, you'll see that... You'll see that there's a lot of extra information which is coming back on each of these servers. Okay, when I said that we went out and did inventory, there's a bunch of information about the servers, not just the roles and features on the servers, which we go pull back. Is it in a cluster? What's the architecture? What OS is it running? Is it activated? So you can go and build up this view to be what you want to do. So say, for example, I'm not really care about the last update, and let's take out the... I'm having click problems. Let's take out the Windows activation. But maybe I do want to see the operating system version, and I want to... I keep hitting the wrong thing. The operating system architecture. And I can create a view which tells me something about the machines that is interesting to me. Now, one thing which is really cool in all of these tiles inside of this view is I can now save that off and say this is my TechEd view. What that's going to allow me to do is switch between that view and other views. So in this one here, I can go back to my default view. I can switch back to my TechEd view. You'll see here that I have a cluster view defined, which is telling me if any of these machines are in a cluster. If so, what's their cluster name? What's their role inside of the cluster? All of that sort of stuff. So you can customize Server Manager to have different views depending on what you want to do. And that same functionality is going to be on every single tile whenever you see this list tile inside of this details view. Okay. So let's move on. Let's go down to the events tile. So remember here that we're aggregating events from many machines. Let's get all of the machines. Selecting all of those. The thing which I think is really cool about being able to do this with events is by sorting by time and date, I can now sort of see a date order of events across many, many machines, which is sort of hard to do otherwise in today, right? But there's actually more than that I can do. So say I want to say, okay, now let's do that, but let's group those by the event source or the event log. Let's do the event source. And now I can start doing, with the combination of grouping and sorting, I can start analyzing that data as it comes in across multiple servers in meaningful ways. So I can sort of say, okay, I was looking at, say I particularly wanted to look at some DNS client errors. I can see that I'm having some issues with demo 1 and demo 2. This is time sorted, so the most recent ones were demo 1. The other machines had some issues before that. So I can start going and looking through multiple event logs at the same time, correlating them based on time. Really cool. Again, you can save those off as part of the view, and you can have pre-save formats that are useful to you. We're going to talk a little bit later on about how to change the set of data which you're pulling out of those event logs. That's something which you can customize. Okay, in the services, again, I've got aggregated services, and when we pull the services data from machines, we pull all the services which are there, running or not. Okay, we pull all of that information back, so there's no need to sort of say, just get me these services. We just pull the whole block back. So inside of here, I've got all of the services from all of the servers. I can group that by the server name if I really wanted to do that. I find it's really cool that you can then group that by the service name. Whoops, I just did the wrong thing. Group by the service name, which now allows me to see things like how does this particular service look across all of my servers, let's say the audio service. Is it running? Is it stopped across a set of servers? So you can compare across servers, which is sort of cool. But what I want to show you here is some of the filtering capabilities that you have in each of these lists. So here I can do a full search filter. Let's say I wanted to find those audio servers. And a very quick filter where it's going to search across all of the data in the list and filter down based on that. But I can do something a lot richer. If I go down here, let's clear that. I can actually build up a sort of a full SQL-like query about what I want to see. So I can go in here and say, I'm really looking for service name and something around description. Let's add those into here, and I'll say, let's say I'm looking for service name contains ASP, and description contains, I don't know, error. Maybe there's none of those. There isn't. Okay, and you can build up a much more sort of SQL-like query around what you're really looking for inside of the thing. Again, you can save those. So here's one prepared earlier where I've built all of those things together, and you'll see here I'm looking for services whose status equals stopped, whose start type is set to automatic triggered or automatic delayed start trigger. And that's a view which is useful to me, then sorted by the service name. And that's something which I've saved away. So you can build all of these things together and really analyze this aggregated data in really useful ways across all of the tiles. Let's move on. Lots to see. BPA, best practice analyzer. So here I'm pulling back all of the BPA results from BPA scans coming from those machines. I want to show you how you can go do those scans. So over on each of these tiles, you might have noticed this task menu, and these are where you're going to find tasks related to that specific tile. So here if I go in to start a BPA scan, it's automatically selecting all of the servers because that's what I have selected up higher in the server tile. And from here, I can basically go start a scan across those servers. It'll fire it off, get updated results, send those back, bring them back. As it's doing a background task, you can find the background task up here in Servers Manager, sort of background task management pane, for want of a better name. So here you'll see that that task is running. When that completes, there'll be an error or success code, which will be up here, and you can see whether it succeeded across all of the servers. If I go into the details for the background tasks, and we find the BPA scan, which will be in here somewhere. Oh, it just completed. I was expecting it to still run. You'll see that there's actually then breakdown details of all the steps which are going on for the BPA scan, and then you can get individual sort of, this is the part of the scan that failed if part of it did fail. So there's a lot of sort of stuff in here to manage what's happening on in the background for Server Manager. Okay, and now it's refreshing that to get the new results. That's what that little refresh is happening. Again, inside of there you can do all sorts of manipulation of that data. For example, I've got a query here which is going to show me all of the results which I've excluded in the past. Okay, and this might be the list which I'm then going to work through when I have time in my busy day to go figure out how to correct some of those issues, which is sort of cool. Let's switch that back to default. Don't have one. Doesn't matter. Okay, the performance tile. So I said before, I told you what performance allows you to do. It manages CPU spikes or memory-free drops below thresholds. The thresholds are configured here from the task menu. You'll see that I've set my thresholds at, you know, if the CPU goes above 85% or if the available memory drops below 40 megabytes. That value came from the fact that I'm using virtual machines in this environment and they're using dynamic memory, so that's roughly around the buffer which I'm trying to monitor. And I'm displaying, you know, one day's worth of graph. So you'll see here that we've got a graph which is showing me the trend of those two metrics, and the thresholds are pinked out there. And what I can do is I can go see that across the different machines. And in fact, if I select multiple machines down here, I can see multiple graphs or multiple lines in those graphs. But the real value here for me is in this bottom thing, it's telling you how many alerts I've got in a particular time frame. So here for server demo 1, you'll see that I've got two instances where the CPU went above the threshold and two instances where the memory went above the threshold between these two times. If I double-click on that and drill down into it, I can now start looking at those and get a little bit more detail on those. So the first instance of the memory spike, or the memory drop here, where it went below, it went down to 37 available megabytes of memory on the machine. It happened at 11:07:28. And at that time, down the bottom here, you'll see I've actually got a snapshot of what processors were running at that time. Okay, same snapshot here, 11:07. And here I can sort by the private memory usage, and I'll see that it was actually the SQL Server process which was using the most of the memory. So I've got a sort of a starting point to go debug whether that spike was important or not. Okay, so that's sort of cool. You can do the same thing with the CPU spikes. Okay, that's the performance. The final tile inside of the detailed view is around roles and features, and this is where we're pulling back all of the information about what roles and features are installed on the server. Again, all the same sort of functionality. Useful thing which you might want to do here, I've got a query which I've pre-saved, which is going and telling me what graphical components are installed on the server. So is this server running as a server core? Is it running with full minimal server interface? Or is it running with full server with GUI? And if you haven't seen the talk on this, which talks about what all of those different modes mean and how you move between them, Andrew Mason is giving a session later on today, I think about 1 o'clock, which you might want to go catch. It's talking about how to use those different deployment options for Windows Server. And this is how you go find it. It's about installation of features on those boxes. A couple of other quick things. We've talked a little bit about the menus up here. Wherever we can, we've got context menus on all of the objects. When I see you guys going and playing in environments, the first thing I see is, you know, right-clicking around to see what you can do. If you go up to the server list here, wherever you have a list of servers, there's a whole bunch of things that you can do for a server contextually. Here you can get to the Add Roles and Features wizard. You can restart the server if it needs restarting. We've actually booked in here the ability to fire off some of the other tools which aren't multi-machine focused, like the existing MMC snap-in. So here I fired off computer management. Notice that it launched contextually to the server which I had selected, which allows you to get very easily to those old tools contextually and work those remote to your server. You'll also see in here that there's a bunch of other tools which come up depending on what roles are installed on the server, so what makes sense for this server. And if we went to the DC, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of tools because that's got all the Active Directory tools that you might want to run against that server. And then down the bottom, there's some other sort of server manager built-in capabilities which we'll talk about. So contextually, you can get at a whole bunch of stuff. The other place where you'll look for tasks or tools is up in this Tools menu up on the global bar. And in here, we've basically got a big long list of all the tools which are available that come and ship as part of RSAT. We're going to come back and spend a little bit more time in this Tools menu and how you can customize that a little bit later on. But this is the launch point. These ones don't launch contextually, so they're just going to fire up those tools, and then you can go set them at a point at whatever machine you want to manage. Okay, so that's a brief overview or a more detailed overview of the functionality inside of Server Manager in terms of the detailed and the dashboard views. Okay. So this is what we saw. What I didn't do is I didn't take you into a detailed view for a role, but those role, if I went to the AD view, for example, what you would have seen there is all of the same tiles, but all of the information in those tiles would have been reduced to or filtered down to the context of AD. So you would have seen just the servers in the server list for AD, you would have seen just events that were related to AD, you would have seen just the services for AD, etc., as a starting point. So we've done all of that. Let's talk a little bit about the other big thing inside of Server Manager, where Server Manager is used to deploy roles and features onto your box. We've made some improvements here over WinServer 2008 R2. Differences which we think are better. In Server 2008 R2, you had a separate wizard for deploying roles onto a box or deploying features onto a box. We've combined those together. Simple as that. Same for the uninstall. Also, when you go in onto an old box, you used to have the initial configuration tool when you logged onto the box to do the initial setup of server. All of that information is now incorporated into Server Manager. So when you first fire up Server Manager on a server, when it first boots, you can go to a local servers page in the navigation menu, and it'll have all of that ICT stuff consolidated into Server Manager so you don't have two different tools. So that's one of the changes which we made, which we think are better. Big changes in deployment, though, are these new deployment options. I actually missed the most important one on here, which is remote deployment. So today, in Server 2008 R2, you actually have to go and log on to the box and run Server Manager on the server box to be able to deploy roles and features to the box. Now, in server 2012, you can do all of that remotely from your RSAC client. Okay, and I'm going to show you that. We've also added features to be able to deploy to an offline VHD. Now, I'm sure that a few of you are immediately going, wow, that's cool. What it means is you don't have to mount a VHD, you don't have to spin up a VHD into a VM, boot it up to be able to add roles and features to that VHD. You can actually just mount it and install directly to the VHD. We're going to run through that and show you that. As we go through the wizard, I'm going to point out where you can point off to unwanted source files. So there's a feature inside of Server 2012 which allows you to say, these binaries which are related to this role, I don't want those on my box, I want to reduce the footprint and I want to offload those. If you do that and you then later want to change your mind and install those roles onto that box, you can point Server Manager at where you've offloaded that side-by-side store. Okay, and pull those binaries in as you install the role. Okay, so that allows you to reduce the footprint of your servers, basically, which is really important in virtualized environments. Again, Andrew Mason in his session will be talking through that in a lot more detail on how that works. I'm also going to show you deployment configuration templates. This is a really cool way as you go through the deployment process to save off those settings and then use those again from the command line. And I'll point to you where you can get at the distributed deployment. The remote desktop services team, who's seen this? Has anyone seen this with the RDS? What they've done with their deployment is they've said, when you deploy RDS, it's very, very rare to ever just deploy all the bits of RDS on a single machine. Typically, you deploy it across at least three or four machines. You put the license server somewhere, you put the broker server somewhere, and you know, you've got back-end and front-end parts. So what RDS has done is it's consolidated their deploy process so that you can actually deploy thinking about how those bits go across many machines, and they build a process around that, a multi-machine deployment process, which is really cool. And you get to that through the add role wizard inside of Server Manager. So let's jump back to the demo machine and have a look at this. Okay. So to start the add role wizard, I'm going to go and do that from up in this manage box. This looks very similar to what you've seen before. That's intentional. We don't want to really change what's already familiar to you if we don't need to. The first page you get here is this installation type. And this role and feature-based installation is the one which we're going to go through. It's the one you're familiar with. It's where you choose the roles and the features that you want to install, and it'll just go and put those on the box. This is where you get to that RDS installation. Okay, so if you go take the second option here, you'll go into the RDS process where you select the RDS components and install and how you want to distribute those across the box. So we're going to do the first one here. We go to the next page, and by default, you've got a choice where you can choose a server which you want to go and install to. Unfortunately, at the moment, we really only support deploying to a single server. We don't do batch deploy from the UI, but I'll show you how you can do that from the command line. We're not going to do a deploy to a server. We're going to do a deploy to a VHD. So I'm going to select that option. And then down the bottom here, I'm going to just quickly cheat and cut and paste. The path to where my VHD is. So this is a share path. And then I also need to select one of the servers, which I have, for server manager to mount the VHD on. So the important thing here is that the virtual hard disk path, the way you describe that, it needs to be something which the server you're going to mount it on can understand and can get access to with the credits which you have on that server. So once we do that, I'm going to fire that off. And it's going to go off to that VHD. It's going to mount the VHD on my demo server 1. And when it does that, the first thing it's then going to do is going to query that VHD and get what features and roles are already installed there so it can tell you what your options are for installing. So here we go. And let's see, what are we going to do here? Let's say we want to install on here IIS. No, it's already installed. Let's say we want to install print and document services on here. And go into the features, so you see that these are now both in here together. Let's say I want to install message queuing and remote assistance features. And you'll see as I go through here, it's if there's any dependencies which the role needs, it's going to go find those, pull those in. I can go and set up the specific choices inside of here and get to the end. Okay, so now I've gone through and I've selected the roles and features which I want to deploy. So this is a configuration which maybe I want to go and repeat across other VHDs. So what I'm going to do is come down to this export configuration settings. And let's just save this as a file on my desktop. Let's call it what it's done is it saved that set of configuration choices off, and I can reuse those at the command line. Here, the second option here is where you can go and specify an ultimate source. So this is related to that feature on demand stuff where I've offloaded the unwanted binaries off the image. So if I had done that with this VHD and needed to go point to those features that I was looking for, where the binaries are for those on a share, that's where I go and do that. It's just a path which you would enter in to tell it where those offloaded binaries are. So let's kick this off and do this install. Again, this is now kicking off in the background. It'll go off and do that. What I want to do while it's doing that is show you a little bit about that configuration file and how we can use it from the command line. I can close this wizard now, and I can track it back up in this task management thing where it's going to go and track that install for me. So it's happening in the background. In fact, you can run off multiple of these in parallel. Okay, so let's jump down to the command line. I'm going to show you this very quickly. This is a really simple script. Let's put this in here, point it at the techhead XML file which we've done. Effectively, all this is doing is saying, for this script lock, I'm going to run an install Windows feature commandlet, which is the commandlet which Server Manager is using under the covers to install features. It's going to point it at a computer name, which I'm going to select from a list. It's going to use the configuration file path, which I provided. And effectively, this is going to go off and launch this for multiple servers. So let's run this script. I'm pulling up the list of servers, which I pre-populated. So if I go and say, I want to do this for four of these using the pass-through function of the app grid view, and do that, it's going to pass those into my script, and you'll see inside of PowerShell it's creating a job for each of those, and in parallel going off and doing those installs across those servers. So this is a really simple way to do batch install, but you don't have to think about, you know, what are the list of you don't have to go in PowerShell and define all of the list of features which you want to do and all of those dependencies. You figure that out through the UI, save off to a configuration file and use that as the way you do deploy. And then of course, yeah, you can go get those jobs. If you can type, and they've all completed. So if we go in there and get the output from those jobs, and because I was doing a what if in the thing, it didn't actually do those deploys, but you can see here it's going to go tell me what that would have done if I'd actually run it for real. Okay, so a really simple way to do batch deploy from the command line. Let's go back to my demo machine. Oh, sorry, let's go back to my slides. Okay, so these are the things we should look at in advanced deployment. And all of that functionality, remember we're doing that remote, which is really cool. Okay, so now that we've looked at what Server Manager can do and all of the functionalities there, I want to spend some time talking about how do I make this really work inside of my environment? How do I make this match to the way my environment is set up? How do I get the most out of it from that perspective? And also, how do I tailor it to match the way that I want to work as a person, so personalize it for myself? So I'm going to come back to this conceptual diagram, and we're just going to add a few things. So you've already seen that this idea of a group is sort of fundamental to the way that Server Manager works, and it creates the UI which is seen inside of Server Manager. So what we've added is the ability to create user customized groups. Effectively, you can define ways of grouping servers together that make sense for you. Okay, and create those. So it actually matches what your environment is. And I don't really know how people will use these. I've got ideas. I think that maybe grouping things by whether they're deployment, whether they're production machines versus test environments, or maybe grouping machines which have a particular purpose for a particular app. But I'm sure there's going to be many, many different ways which people will use this functionality. And these groups are actually really powerful. You can do a lot with them, and we're going to go and explore that. If you look at the taxonomy of a group, it basically has three things in it. It has a group of servers, a set of servers which are a part of the group, which you go and select. So we're going to go select what those are when we create the group. Then it has a data query, and this is telling you, for this group, I need to get this sort of data back in order for this group to be useful for me. That's going to be, what is the set of data which I want to get? Okay, so let's talk about it from the perspective of events. What are the event logs which I want to be able to pull information from for this query? For this group, and then what is the query which I want to apply across that data set? Am I after just critical events out of there, or am I after critical plus error plus all the informational events? Okay, so what's the set of data which you want to have inside of your detailed view? And then what are the things which I want to do in terms of filtering what's shown on the dashboard? So how do I define from that data set what is the stuff which I actually want to alert on inside of my dashboard? So you do all of that for the group, and as we go create our custom group, we're going to see how you build all of that together to do something useful. So let's go back to the demo. I'm going to try and do this a little bit quickly because there's still lots and lots of things to see. From this top manage menu, I'm going to do a create server group. I'm going to select here the servers which I actually want to use. Let's take 4, 5, add those guys. And in fact, let's go get that other machine, which was my other server 2008 machine, and add that in. What Server Manager is going to do is, because I've added that into my group, it's going to bring it into my machine pool for me, my server pool. And let's call this, let's say these are the machines that support all of the apps that my execs use. Okay. So I've created that group. You'll see that there's now an exec app detailed view node over here. And if we go to the dashboard, you'll see that we now have an exec apps thumbnail tile. We haven't customized it yet, so we're seeing a little bit of noise here. This manageability event is just telling me that I can't get performance counter detail off that machine. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we now have that group, and we've got the UI associated with that group inside of Server Manager. So now let's go and let's customize what we're going to see for that group. Let's just customize the events for now. So let's go in and configure the event data. This is a task on the event tile. And let's say that here I'm really only interested in the error and the critical events. 24 hours, let's say I really want 3 days worth of data for that. And let's see, what logs do I need? I'm going to keep the application log. And then let's see, Jeffrey Snover is one of these execs in my organization, so we better have Windows PowerShell logs in here. Admin and the operational logs. And let's say we also want, I can't find it. Let's bring in some of these remote desktop server stuff. Logs, let's bring them all in. OK, Okay, so here I'm selecting what is the information which, when I'm looking at these sets of machines in the context of my exec app groups, what information is important to me from those machines to be able to understand how the health of the exec apps are or to be able to debug problems there. So I'm going to bring that in. You'll see that Server Manager is now going to go and find that data and refresh that data and pull it in, and now I can start working with that data inside of the thing. Similarly, if I go to the dashboard, I can now go in here and start customizing the query, which says filter down the stuff from the dashboard so I'm only seeing alerts for particular things. So for example, you know, I'm only interested in critical alerts here. Maybe I'm really only interested in, I'm not interested in the PowerShell issues. If Jeffrey has one of those, he's going to come and talk to me, so I don't need to alert about that. It's not that important, but I'll keep the RDS ones there. I can start to filter down what I'm seeing inside of the dashboard to make it relevant for what I want to do. Okay, so you sort of get the idea that through this custom grouping process, you can start making Server Manager match your environment, the way that your environment works and the way that you know, your environment is sort of organized together. Okay. So I'm sure that by now there's probably a few of you are sort of asking yourself a question, which is, hey, if I've got all of these groups, what are the implications of this on my environment, right? Yeah, what does it mean? If I define, you know, 20 different groups and they've all got queries and they've got overlapping servers, and you know, what's that doing? Am I querying the machine constantly to get data, and is that going to bring down my servers? So these are the sort of questions you might be asking. We've already talked a little bit about the confidence thing. Okay, we've got timestamps on the data in the dashboard. You can see how fresh the data is. And when we look at the manageability states, you're going to see that it will also tell you if it can't get a particular sort of data. It's going to warn you about that. But what about some of these other questions? Well, let's look under the hood. Whenever we do a query off to the back-end providers for Server Manager, we're doing timestamping. That's how we get the freshness timestamp inside of the dashboard. What that means is that when we go and query for 24 hours worth of data, the first time we do that, we're probably going to have to get 24 hours worth of data. But when we go and do that 10 minutes later, based on the poll cycle, we're not going to go get 24 hours worth of data. We're going to send the timestamp and say, you know what, I need 24 hours worth of data, but I've already got all of the data up into this timestamp. Give me anything else I need. Okay, so we're doing smart things there, which is good, of course. The poll cycle you can configure as well. Okay, that's in the server properties off the manage menu. When you look at the providers, we're also being very sensitive about how will those providers work on the back-end server. They're SIM providers. And wherever we can, we're taking advantage of any caching which we can do. The really good example of this is when we go get inventory and we go query CBS about what roles and features are installed, the first time we do that, it actually takes a little while to get that first list of roles and features. But that provider is then caching that, and CBS actually does the caching and allows us on subsequent queries to where we're looking to see whether anything else has been installed, because you can install stuff other than through Server Manager. That's actually a lot faster because of the caching which is inherent in the back-end system. So wherever we can, we're doing the smart things in terms of caching on the provider side. But the real value comes from what we're doing in terms of data query optimization. And in order to explain what we're doing here, just to show you that we're doing the smart thing, I'm going to walk you through an example. We're going to look at events. So by default, when you look at the all servers group, by default we're going to be pulling back the critical error and the warning events for 24 hours from the application setup and system log. And we'll do that for all of the servers which are in my console. Here I've shown four of them. Two things to know here. If you change the data query in the all servers page, it's going to affect all of the servers. Okay? So if you go and add informational events in the all servers page, what it's going to do is it's going to get across all of the servers in your environment. It's now going to start querying for all the informational events as well. Now, that's sort of important because if you turn on informational events and then go look at the size of the data that's returning, about 90% of that is informational. Okay, so when you turn on informational, you're actually expanding your data set quite significantly. And then I've already pointed out that the second query, once you do the incremental query, that it's only pulling incremental data back based on the timestamp. Let's add into this one of the role tiles, or one of the role groups. So let's say we have role X and we've configured it so that it's pulling back critical error warning and informational for 12 hours. And then the logs for the inbuilt roles are defined by the role team. So the AD team had configured those three logs that it was looking for events from. Okay? So it's going to go do that. Now, the key point here is that when Server Manager does this query, say to Server Demo 1 machine, it's going to have those two parts to the query, the 12 hours for the role and then the 24-hour query across a different set of logs for the all servers, but it's going to combine those into a single query or a single query to our provider. So if you have 20 of these role groups, it's not 20 queries going out. It's not a chatty connection. It's just really consolidated into a single ask, which is important as you scale out across these. The really interesting thing comes when you start adding custom groups, though. So let's say that I've added a custom group. I've said that I want 3 days' worth of data from this custom group. This is a bit like my exec apps group. I'm looking for critical and error levels of error of events. And let's say that I'm looking for events from the application log and then two other logs which are specific to the app running in this group, app log A and B. Okay? So the query which we're going to send off to the other end is this. First of all, we're going to go say we need 3 days' worth of critical and error data from the application log, from the app log A, app log B. Okay? Then we're going to say, well, what do we need for the all service page? Well, we need 24 hours worth of stuff. We need critical error and warning. So let's go pull that out of the setup and system log. But we've already got that for the application log because of the previous part of the query. So we're not going to go get that. But that previous query didn't have the warning data, so we need to go get 24 hours worth of warning data from the application log. So it sort of builds that up and finds the right merge set of information, and then go get the information from the merge log. So what you can see from the role log. So what you can see here is that Server Manager is doing the smart thing to say, what's the superset of the data, and it's not going and querying for duplicate data. We're removing all of the duplicates where possible. Now what this means is that when you build out your groups and you make Server Manager really work well in your environment, you don't have to worry so much about Server Manager pulling duplicate data and pulling down pumping a whole bunch of data across your network. You put all these things together, it's actually pretty powerful. I don't have a demo which I wanted to show you, which basically went a little bit like this. It was, now that we know what's happening with all of the data, let's pull into Server Manager 100 machines and then go do a refresh and get 24 hours worth of data across those machines and see how it performs. And that demo actually would show you, you'd sit there and you'd watch it going through and retrieving the data, and within about a couple of seconds you would start seeing the tiles appear on the dashboard page as it finds what's installed on those machines. And the whole data, the initial data query refresh, actually happened in about 22, 23 seconds. To get all of that back, and that's the first query. So if you think about that, I've now gone up to 100 machines, I've got quite a bit of data which is coming back, it's still really quite fast, and then subsequent queries would be faster again. So when you think about using Server Manager in your environment and all of these options to flexibly configure it, there's a fair bit of headroom there. So you've got a little bit of room to move. Okay? But my point here is that I really wanted you to understand what's happening under the covers, so as you go back and do that in your environment, you can sort of know what levers are there to pull to make Server Manager work really well in your environment. Okay. Getting ahead of myself. So we've talked about how to customize Server Manager for your environment. How are we going? What I want to do now is talk about a little bit about how you can customize Server Manager to work better with you. Okay, and there's three things which I'm going to show you. First of all, let's talk a little bit about launching your favorite scripts from that tools menu which we saw and how you can organize that. I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can roam your Server Manager settings, what roams and what doesn't. And then very quickly we'll have a look on the local server and see what Server Manager looks like on the server desktop. So let's go to the demo machine. And we're going to work up in this tools menu. So I told you before that this tools menu is pulling all of the tools and a launch point for the tools which are installed as part of RSAP. Really what's happening here is that Server Manager is just going into the administration tools folder on the box and pulling in everything that it finds there and actually showing you the way it's organized in there. When we looked at Server Manager, and you remember that very first slide when we looked at that graph of the number of windows opened, and we knew that the IT pros and admins sort of live with multiple windows open and multiple tools, we thought about the experience on client where you go back to that initial Win8 client start screen to get access to your programs. And we realized that we're all going to be doing that a lot more often than most consumers, and that was going to become maybe a little bit limiting in terms of how efficient you can move between those. So by bringing those into Server Manager as a place to launch those can become really powerful. The nice thing about Server Manager going and pulling these from the administration tool structure is two things. First of all, I can add my own stuff in here. So if you've got your favorite tool, you can add it in here really easily. And then the second thing is you can organize this in a way that makes sense to you. So in order to show that, let me go down here. You'll see that I've already got a directory here which has my scripts. I'm going to put in here, I'm going to launch this one, which is organize my admin tools folder script. It's going to open up inside of that script up inside of PowerShell ISE. Let's just clear this from before. And if you look at this script, you'll see it's actually really simple. It's just making a couple of directories, and then it's moving some stuff around to put it the way I like it. And I've got an equivalent restore script. Okay, so if we run this script, it's going to go off and do that. Now if I go back to Server Manager, you see that I've organized that tools directory in the way that actually makes sense to me, which is really nice. So here I've put all of my system tools, like computer management and disk cleanup, all of that into a directory. I've organized all the AD tools into a single directory, all of that sort of stuff, to organize that the way you want to do. So this is really just a reflection of what's in the administration tools folder, and you can go play with that. I mean, in fact, we're going to be posting a blog article around this, which actually goes step by step how to do that, and very soon on the Server Manager blog. Okay, so that's the tools menu. Let's talk a little bit about roaming. There's some stuff which Server Manager roams and other stuff which it doesn't. So if you go into your roaming profile, the one thing which you will find there is under Microsoft Windows Server Manager is this server list. So as you add machines into your server, into your Server Manager instance, so your machine pool, and as you create groups of those machines which are specific to your environment, those are all going to roam with you if you go run Server Manager from a different machine, if you go run it from a tablet machine, for example. This server list is actually really simple. It's just a very simple XML file. Okay, there's nothing magical here, but it is actually really useful to be able to roam that with you. When we thought about roaming other stuff inside of Server Manager, for example, roaming the layout choices that you have in terms of resizing options and all of that sort of stuff, and we thought about the roaming scenario. If I go from my desktop PC, which might have this sort of display with this resolution and this is the way I work compared to a tablet PC, we decided that we didn't really think that roaming those layout settings would make sense to people. I really would have liked to have sort of made it optional so you can choose whether you could roam those or not, but we didn't get to be able to add that. So at the moment, the server list and those groups is the only thing that really roams with you with Server Manager. Okay? And if you have scenarios where that's a little bit limiting to you, I'd really like to understand those so we can think about that in our planning moving forward. Okay. Finally, I said that we would go have a look at the desktop. So let's bring up... Let's launch from a remote desktop connection straight from Server Manager for Server Demo 1. As this connecting, and it might take a little while, you remember that we said that Server Manager now includes the ICT, the initial configuration task. So when we see Server Manager on this desktop, we're going to see a local server page, which will have effectively, it's a group of one server, which is the local server, but it adds an additional tile which has all of the properties for that server and access to some of the tools to do some of those initial configuration tasks. The other set of changes which we've done on Windows Server for the desktop is we've done things like pinning some of the most obvious choices onto the desktop at the bottom. You'll see here on the desktop for server, on the desktop we've pinned a couple of things which make sense for IT professionals. PowerShell, Server Manager, File Explorer as a starting point. When you do go to the start page for WinServer 2012, you'll see that we've also pinned there a lot of the tools which make sense for an IT pro, given this is a server. So we've customized or optimized this for what we think makes sense for IT pros on the server desktop. The other big change which we've done is that that server, when you boot up, it's actually going to go to the desktop by default and not to that Win8 sort of start screen. So if we fire up Server Manager here, you'll see that we have this local server page, and this is the property page which you'll see, which gives you the way to go and launch the firewall, go set the domain and the computer name, and all that sort of stuff that was in the ICT is now inside of Server Manager, so it's all in one tool. Okay. Okay, we need to keep moving. Wow, I want to get to the last demo because it's really cool. So we've talked about personalizing that. Let's talk about a couple of other things. I referred a couple of times to manageability states. So this is that big long list of things that can tell you whether your machine is pingable effectively. And the idea of the manageability thing is to tell you to what extent is the information which I'm getting correct and what are the problems I might be having in getting that information from the remote server. And really, the states which are there's a fair few of them, but they fall into three main categories. There's some client-side stuff, there's some server-side stuff, and then there's the stuff which is really about the connection in the middle. And these are the sorts of things which fall into each of those categories. We're just going to walk very quickly through and talk about a couple of these. So first on the client side, mostly what you're going to see here are a bunch of things that have to do with authentication. So if I'm authenticating locally on my IT Pro desktop and then using that authentication across to manage domain machines, we're using Kerberos, and any sort of issues there in that local authentication are going to show up and show up in the manageability state. You know, can't authorize, there's a bunch of errors there. Okay, they're pretty simple. When we're looking at the pipe in the middle, a few things that you need to understand here. First of all, server manager relies on DNS to go find the machines. Even if you add a machine by IP address, it's going to find the name of that machine, and then it's actually using the machine each time it goes out to the server to find the right IP address for that machine. Okay, so if DNS isn't there, or if your server, which you're trying to contact, isn't findable in DNS, then you're going to get a target name resolution error. You're going to get errors here if we detect that the operating system on the other end is something we can't manage. For example, if you point it at a Linux box, you're going to get that sort of error there. The fourth one in this list is the one which you're most likely to see more often. And this is basically saying that Server Manager can't create the WinRM connection to the remote machine. So I told you that Server Manager layers on top of PowerShell, PowerShell remoting on WinRM. In fact, a lot of the time, Server Manager is going direct to our SIM providers over WSRM, over WinRM 3.0. So we need that port open. We need that endpoint created on the other machine. Where you're likely to see this is when you're managing down-level machines. So when you want to manage a down-level machine, you need to install Windows Management Framework 3.0. It's a downloadable package which you can get for 2008 and 2008 R2. When you install that, that'll put all of the right SIM stuff on the box, and it'll put down the server manager SIM providers. But one thing which it doesn't do is it doesn't open the WinRM port. Okay, so you need to open that. On WinServer 2012, it's open by default, so it's manageable by default, but on the down-level machines, you're going to have to go do that. The way you do that is you run the easiest way to do that is to run the PowerShell enable PowerShell remoting commandlet. Okay, and that'll actually do everything for you. It'll create the endpoint, it'll go make sure the firewall settings are all open. But if you do that, and then you'll be able to manage the down-level system. If you see this error, the way which I like to troubleshoot it is actually to go down into PowerShell and use the new SIM session commandlet, because effectively that's what Server Manager is doing. It's creating a new SIM session to the remote machine, and using that commandlet, if you can get that commandlet to work, then you're probably going to have Server Manager working at that point because it's doing the same thing. Okay, let's look quickly at some of the things on the server side. A few interesting things here that you might see. If you try and point at a server system which is older than 2003, then you're going to see an error there because we can't manage that. Even with 2003, you're going to see limited sort of manageability capability. You're going to see sort of a ping ability, but not a lot more. If a server is in a state where it's looking for a restart, for example, if you've installed a role or removed roles and features and there's a restart pending, Server Manager is going to tell you about that in the manageability state, which is really cool if you're doing sort of multiple deploys and you want to understand when it's time to restart that machine. It'll remind you. There's a couple here which you will see. You'll see there's a bunch here which have to do with specific types of data. If I can't get the event data, if I can't get the BPA results, and it's going to tell you about those in that manageability state. A couple of things which you might need to know. If you're using the current download, you'll probably see this cannot get BPA results error. And when you first add your machines, you're going to see that pretty much everywhere. This is a bug. It's a bug which we will fix. In fact, it is fixed already. It's just not in the package which you have. And it's actually telling you the truth. It's telling you that there isn't a results file for BPA, and it's because BPA has not been run. If you want to clear that red from your dashboard when you're trying this out, just go run BPA across all the servers. I told you it was a good thing to do. And that'll actually then generate BPA results file, and then that error will go away. But that'll be fixed in the final release. The other thing which you might see is this. We saw this cannot get performance counter detail data. And what's happening here, again, this was on one of the down-level machines which I had. And when you're managing down-level machines, there's a QFE which you need to install. It's not released yet, unfortunately, but it will be released by the time we ship. And I have that installed on some of my down-level machines, which allows me to get performance data from those machines. But if you don't have that QFE, then you're going to see that error. Okay, and that'll be released. The KB article, I can tell you if you want to come and ask me about it, but it'll be released by the time we go out. Okay. How are we going? We've got about 5 minutes left. Very quickly, a couple of other sort of bits and pieces. I think we've talked about some of these already. Automating Server Manager tasks. So Server Manager is layered on top of PowerShell. Okay, so everything that you can do in Server Manager, you can do from PowerShell. If you go into the PowerShell ISE today and you go look for the modules which have Server Manager, you'll see one of the two modules which will eventually ship. And that module has in all of the commandlets which allow you to do the install and get Windows features, all of those deployment sort of tasks. The module which isn't there in the RC release but will be there by the time we ship is the module that has all of the stuff which talks about, which gives you the equivalent capability for all of our data retrieval for Server Manager and then all of the tasks which we do like restarting services and so forth. So you'll be able to find that and you can just easily find that inside of PowerShell. If you're in the ISE, you can go to the new command window and search in there for PowerShell modules and you'll for Server Manager modules and you'll find that. We talked about managing down level, the performance QFE, which you're going to need. When you're installing Windows Management Framework 3.0, a couple of things to be aware of. Read the dependency stuff at the start of that. You need to install .NET first. So there's just some idiosyncrasies there. And then just remember when you install that on your down level machine, you need to go do that enable PowerShell remoting to open up the WinRAR endpoint. Finally, authentication, access consideration, managing to and from workgroups. We're going to put in a fairly detailed blog about this. So what happens if you want to manage from your desktop, but your desktop is not domain joined? What are the sorts of things you need to do and vice versa if the server is not domain joined? And there's going to be a blog about that. You can do all of this. There's just some configuration idiosyncrasies you need to be aware of. So having said that, that's the end of what I want to do, but I do want to show you one other demo. So just give me 1 second. I'm going to switch my demo environment across here. The question you might be asking yourself is, well, what about cloud? What about Azure? Can I manage servers up in there? This is something which we've been playing with recently. I will tell you, I'll put a caveat across all of this that we haven't done full testing across Azure. But really, from a server manager perspective, if we can create a WinRM connection to a machine, and if we can authenticate to that machine, we should be able to manage it, right? So here I've got 3 virtual machines running inside of Azure. What I've done for each of these is I've gone and configured a WinRM endpoint on port 5985. Okay. That's not created by default, so you need to go and add that in manually and then open the appropriate firewall ports. But once you've done that, these machines should be accessible from Server Manager. So let's fire off Server Manager. And let's go up to the Manage menu here. I'm going to add servers. Here I'm going to import from a file. So on my desktop, I have this file, and you can see that this is just a flat list of the server names up in the cloud. Okay. So let's add all 3 of those machines into Server Manager. Okay, so what's happening here? The refresh has failed because I've got this Kerberos authentication error. So it doesn't know how to authenticate with those machines in the cloud. So let's give it some different credentials. So I'm going to use the manage as task here, which allows me for these servers to say, don't use the credentials of the Server Manager process, use these alternate credentials. So here I'm going to add in these as my cloud credentials for those machines. For those 2, the other one has a slightly different set of credentials because it's a work group. So I'm going to manage these as SMD using the administration account on here. Administrator. And you'll see here that it's already found the other two. They're online and we've started creating the groups for those. One of them is an AD domain controller. Now the other one's coming online. And if we go back to the dashboard, you'll see that we've started to pull results back from these. For example, it's telling me that my DNS is not configured very well. I'm in a cloud environment. That's because it's a test environment. And if we go now to the All Service page, you'll start to see that this is the refresh file from before. You start to see that we've started to pull back all of the data from those machines. So effectively what we're doing here is we're managing infrastructure up in the cloud from Server Manager. So before, when I talked about the fact that we're managing multiple machines, regardless of whether they're physical or virtual or somewhere up in the cloud, we want to do all of those together, then this sort of shows you that, you know, conceptually it's certainly possible. And I actually think it's a really cool demo, and that's where I wanted to leave the session at the end. So thank you very much. I hope that you've seen something here which is useful for you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your TechEd. Thank you.